I'm Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Welcome to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. I've been really enjoying the sunshine here lately. I've been able to get out and stretch my legs and go for some long runs and not slip and die on the ice. So that's been good. Rob, I saw that you have been out chasing some squirrels around and that looked awfully fun.
Yeah, you know, I did get out for a little Sunday afternoon small game woods walk last weekend. With my two young sons. I say young, the oldest one will be in junior high next year. I don't know how that happened, but
that's scary.
Yeah, but it was pretty fun. You know, anytime I can get out and invest some of my time in the outdoors with my sons, you know, that's a great day. That's a win. And Sunday afternoon, the sun was out. There wasn't a lot of wind blowing around. I think we probably walked about 2 miles along a creek. Hardwood Creek's got a lot of walnut trees and a few oaks and some mixed timber, and had our 22 rifles. We wound up bringing home three nice fox squirrels, and my youngest actually had a big old fat cottontail. Pretty well, I didn't get to witness it, but I was walking one side of the creek and they were on the other, and that sounds like this rabbit ran right in front of them and just stopped. And I don't think he hesitated. He made a perfect shot. Right, he shoots a little Davy cricket. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's a little single shot bolt action kids youth 22, and you have to actually pull back the firing pin manually. So there's not a safety, and so the pin is always forward until you manually pull it back. And then so he had enough wherewithal to pull that back, take aim, make the shot, and. He was for a third grade. Wow. He was pretty pumped up. So
yeah, I bet he was telling lots of stories.
yeah, he'll tell anybody that's going to listen, I'm sure. So, and I'm planning to put some left work in the kitchen. I've been wanting to make cottontail rabbit tamales for a while, so we're going to try that with that bunny, and at least one of the squirrels. We make squirrel egg rolls. You all. Cook it down in a crock pot, pull the meat, and then mix it with some other stuff, wrap it up, make egg rolls. And the Super Bowl's coming up, so that might tie in there. And anyway, good times.
Yeah, perfect Sunday. Again, with the open invitation to dinner over at Rob's house.
Come on over.
You're really setting yourself up to serve everybody.
Yeah, right.
Well, speaking about experimenting in the kitchen and putting wild game on the table, I'm excited to introduce our new guest today, Courtney Nicholson. Courtney is a great friend of mine, but is also a mentor I look up to. Courtney and I actually met on a Sisterhood of the Outdoors antelope hunt, and we had the founder of Sisterhood, Amy Ray Williams, on our podcast earlier this year. Courtney and I met back in 2018, and that was really kind of by chance, and I'm so thankful for that. Courtney doesn't shy away from the hard stuff at all and is very passionate about learning new trades. And you guys are going to definitely see a lot of that today as we talk to her. She's an outdoor adventurer, huntress, and wild game culinary explorer. And she recently started a new career as the Associate Director of Communications for Sportsman's Alliance. And I'm pretty proud of Courtney and thrilled she's on our podcast today.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
It's so fun to be here.
Yay. Welcome. Well, Court, tell us about you. I want to hear all about it. Give us a little rundown on who you are, kind of how you got involved in the outdoors. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, well, so I grew up in New England. I grew up in Massachusetts, out near Cape Cod. And, you know, we did a lot of outdoorsy stuff growing up. We fished a little bit, did a lot of clamming, camping, hiking, went up to New Hampshire quite a bit. But no one in my family hunted. So hunting wasn't something that I ever thought about or was interested in. And I started hunting completely by accident. When I was 18, I moved to New York City, actually, of all places, to go to college. I wanted to work in the TV industry. And after graduating and working for about a year or two on set for a bunch of different TV shows, I decided I wanted to work at a TV network instead. And so I applied for every network I could think of. And the most interesting offer that I received was from Sportsman Channel. So at that time, Sportsman Channel was based in Wisconsin, but they had a satellite office in New York City, which also ran the magazines, which their parent company owns. And so there I was working for Sportsman Channel and their creative department. And so it definitely was trial by fire, learned very, very quickly. And after working there for about a year, I thought, you know what, I might give this a try. This looks kind of fun. So I took Hunter Education by myself in the Bronx, actually. Went, I bought the cheapest gun that I could find, bought a Mossberg 535 pump action shotgun in 12 gauge, and you know, cheapest one in case I didn't like this whole hunting thing. I wouldn't be, you know, invested for a lot. And actually the first hunt I ever went on was with another female. I was connected to a young lady who lived in upstate New York, and she didn't know me at all. And I drove up there and she took me out turkey hunting. And that was my very first hunt experience, was with another female. And how lucky was that? And kind of set the tone for what would be of my hunting mentorship, being both a mentee and a mentor to come. So it's been a lot of fun.
So I got to know, did you find any turkeys? Number one, did you kill a turkey? And then were you even, you know, because turkey hunt can be major hit or miss, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we actually went, it was Memorial Day weekend. It was the last 2-3 days of the season in New York. And it was very, very hot. We ended up not seeing any toms or jakes, but we did see a couple of hens, and it was pretty cool. We had a hen walk by it, I don't know, maybe 10 yards while we were sitting there. But I just remember watching the sunrise and seeing there were two little fawns playing tag in this beautiful flower field right when the sun came up. And I thought, this is so magical. And just listening to the sounds, listening to the turkeys, listening to the different animals, and how cool it was that they didn't know we were there, and just being able to enjoy that. And I'm definitely not a morning person. You know, my friends and family were shocked when I, you know, told them, yeah, I'm going to start doing this thing and getting up at 3 a.m. You know, I have trouble waking up at, you know, 8:55 to start working at 9. So yeah, I mean, I just, you know, seeing sunsets and sunrises and new states and new places. And I think I'm up to 20 different states I've hunted now. And it's taken me to places I never would have imagined. It's the most wonderful, happy accident life rerouting.
I love that.
From the outside looking in, I've got to say that that story is pretty fantastic because of the barriers just in that one story, right? You didn't grow up in a hunting family. You were living in one of the largest cities worldwide, right? New York City. You're a female. You took hunter safety by yourself. You went and bought your own gun, right? But just to be able to identify, I think I need a shotgun, a 12 gauge, a pump action. Here's my budget, right? You accomplished that by yourself, and then went hunting by your, I mean, you had a partner, right? But you took the initiative to be like, well, I've done all this, I might as well go try it. And that's pretty fantastic right there in itself.
Yeah, it was quite the combination. I'll say, so for buying the gun, I did ask some recommendations, some friends of mine, short list of you know, cheaper, reliable guns to try. I think there were three or four that I was mm-hmm. suggested, but the main thing that I had heard people was, you know, take the gun, close your eyes, shoulder it, you know, get a cheek weld and open your eyes and look down the barrel. And how does it look and how does it feel and which one feels most natural? And, you know, so the, that one wasn't, you know, the top of the list for recommendations, but that was the one that seemed to fit me. So I wish somebody had told me. I said, oh man, this thing is so light. It weighs nothing. This is great. This is the one for me. Yeah. So, but I still have that gun. Now it's actually my dedicated turkey gun. So
awesome.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome. I was just going to ask if you still shoot it.
Yep. So I shoot it for, when I switched over, I didn't realize I had, you know, the glow, you know, the red and green glow, fiber optic sights on it. Mm-hmm. And when I switched and I purchased a new shotgun that just had a bead, the first time I ever went turkey hunting with it, I shot right over the turkey, like way over, because without having something to line up in the back of it, you know, I naturally shoot very high, you know, when I, do, steel targets, you know, for competitions, anything that I'm pointing at a stationary object with a shotgun, I always, always hit high, which is fairly common. So, I figured, you know, this is great. I've got the glow sights on this already. It's chambered in 3.5. And then I don't have to scramble the night before turkey opener saying, where is my turkey choke? So it all lives together. And it's camo dipped, which is, you know, nice as well. None of my other guns are.
Boom. And it comes with a great story, even better. So that wasn't that long ago, right? You're an onset hunter, right?
Yeah, that was, I think 2012. So I was, I think 23 or so.
Man. So what, 10 years of hunting, 20 different states. I mean, you like fully jumped in, and that's the cool part is you didn't really like tiptoe in, like, do I like this? Do I want to do it? You just like fully embrace the, like what Rob said, the barriers, the not knowings, all of the things that come up against, you know, women in particular, but just new hunters in general. You just kind of embraced them. I love that.
Sure did. Making up for lost time.
Yeah. We got to do it sometime. So I'm curious, you do a lot of hunting and you're pretty well known on Instagram, according with Freckles, and you document a lot of your recipes and cooking. So tell us a little bit about that. What do you enjoy about cooking, or what's your favorite recipe?
Well, gosh, you know, there's so much that I like about cooking. I think for me, you know, especially my time living in New York City, I really realized that food and cooking was the easiest and the best way to teach someone about hunting. You know, I had all of my friends were non-hunters. You know, and that they weren't hunters, they weren't anti-hunters, they were just that huge portion in the middle that just, you know, like I knew nothing about hunting, didn't think about it, you know, didn't know anybody who hunted, had no perception whatsoever of it. And so, you know, I was living in Brooklyn, you know, the first 3 years or so that I was hunting, and, you know, success rate wasn't very high. And I never ate wild game when I was by myself. I always saved it when I could share it with someone who had never had it before. And so I made a point, you know, I threw a Christmas party every year and I would cook wild game. And it was so funny to see my friends, you know, have you tried this? Try it. Oh, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Do you like it? Oh, it's a goose. Yeah, the goose on the soccer field. Those geese. Yeah, that's what you would say. You know, and just be able to share it with people, you know, and, you know, as time went on and I moved, you know, to places where there were a lot more hunters and became a little more successful, you know, I just started buying meat less and less, you know, until it came to the point that I didn't have to buy meat anymore. And so that's what I really love about it, you know, and people, I hear a lot of times from people, you know, we hear that trophy hunting phrase, you know, and I know a lot of people would come to me and say, you know, I don't think I really like hunting. I don't agree with, I don't like that trophy hunting thing, but you know, I like what you do. You know, I like what you do. You respect the animal and, you know, and then you eat it, you know, and of course, you know, more education on wanton waste goes to that person, but yeah, you know, it's important, you know, and it's important sometimes, you know, to show the really elegant gourmet transformation of wild game. You know, yes, you can make a Wellington. Yes, you can make any exotic, you know, international dish that you would like. But recently, you know, I've really tried to also show just the mundane, you know, average Tuesday night. You know, it's Tuesday, making tacos out of something, you know, making a stir fry. It's not pretty. And that's important too, you know, especially if someone's, you know, following on social media and saying, oh, there's all these pictures of, you know, all these animals, you know, being hunted and, you know, are they eaten? Where are they? You know, what happens? So, yeah, I think it's important, you know, even if it's not an exciting recipe, to kind of always show like, yep, you know, we're always eating it. So.
Well, I think that's important to share too. One, that hunting can be a little daunting on its own, right? But then you shoot this animal and you're like, what do I do? And there's a lot to breaking down an animal and then preparing it to cook. And so I think that's great when you can show, you know, intermediate level to advanced level recipes and know that you can make turkey leg carnitas pretty easily, you know, and they're fantastic and really easy. Or you could do the Wellington, right? Like that's another very viable option, but it's cool to see someone like you with your experience to, you know, break it down so easily for everybody too.
Yeah, I definitely need to start writing down more recipes. I don't usually measure things when I make things at home. So I drive people crazy when I post pictures of things and I start off with, don't ask for the recipe. I didn't write it down. You know, so I definitely, that's my ongoing goal to try to write down some more of that. So
I'm going to get you like a bunch of recipe cards and force you to start writing things down. That's my mom's birthday gift this year, actually, because I refuse to not know her recipes.
Oh, nice.
So speaking of kind of venturing out there and doing things yourself, like you've done really from the start of this, you told me a story back in 2020 at the Kansas Governor's Ringneck Classic about a mule deer hunt. And it was super empowering for me to hear just from listening to you. So I only can imagine how you feel, but I want you to share that story if you don't mind.
So my mule deer hunt, yes. So I had been living in Colorado for about 5 years. And every year I like to set a goal for myself of either a new species to chase or a new state to hunt in, usually both. Make sure and really focus on something for that season. And so that particular season, it was hunting for a mule deer buck. So I put in for and purchased a lot of doe tags. A lot of times they're cheaper and they're easier to draw. And so a lot of times that's what I'll do, especially if I know I've got a lot of hunts going on and I don't have a long time to really pursue one specific animal. And so that year I put in for my first mule deer tag, a mule deer buck tag, and I drew it. And so at that time I was dating someone who was a very avid mule deer hunter, and I had put in for a tag in his unit. And so pretty much right after the draw results came out in the summer, we broke up. And you know, I kind of was sitting there with the decision to make of, you know, what am I going to do with this tag? And so in that process, I actually left Colorado, moved back to Massachusetts for a little while, and really just sat there and thought about it. And so I made the decision, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go on this hunt. So I knew absolutely nothing about that unit, kind of knew where the closest town was. And really that was about it, knew nothing about it at all. And so from that point on, I went out and, you know, first time I went out to that area, I pretty much drove around the entire border of the unit, saw, you know, all the road access points. You know, there was maybe 5 different places where you could park and hike in and hunt that unit, wrote them all down, went back another weekend, narrowed it down to 2 that I really wanted to go into. During that time, it was a lot of fun. I had on one of my scouting trips, I actually shot my first grouse up there in the mountains. So that was a lot of fun. I shot a couple of rabbits as well while I was out there. You know, as I went along, I had, you know, a couple of my mentors and friends of mine, and they even said, hey, I'll come out and I'll scout with you, or, hey, I might have some old data on that unit. And I said, no, you know, I'm not going to take it, you know, which was weird for me because that's kind of against everything I believe in, you know. I really never had any interest in solo hunting. I did a lot, you know, when I first started hunting, and quickly realized that, you know, a big part of my love for hunting is hunting with other people and the camaraderie and the chats and the talks and the sharing successes and sharing the, you know, the sadnesses. So it was all pretty unnatural to me, you know, to say, no, I'm going to go out scout by myself, because I had something to prove, which I had never felt that way before. So opening weekend came, and I was actually up in Wyoming with you.
Yeah.
So I missed the first 2 or 3 days of the season, during which there was a massive snowstorm. So they completely got socked in with snow, plummeted. So I think it was probably that Monday when I actually was able to get up there and get into that unit. So drove up, got there around nighttime. It was, I think, like -5 degrees when I got there, and slept in my car and thought, you know, this is kind of crazy, you know. What am I doing here? You know, I can't do this. Why am I doing this? And woke up the next morning and went out. And so I had, I believe it was the first day of the hunt, I saw a buck, and I told myself that I was going to, you know, the first shooter buck that I saw. You know, I was out there to get my first mule deer. I was out there, you know, doing my first solo backpacking hunt, and that was my goal. That was what I was going to take. And so I saw this buck. He's gorgeous. Took a shot at him, and I missed. I sat down and just felt like gum on the bottom of someone's shoe. And I just thought, you know, that's, I knew it. I couldn't do it. Of course I can't do it. What did I think? Who did I think I was? And just felt totally crummy. And so there was a one little peak that I had found that I could get cell phone service. And I called one of my girlfriends. And I said, I missed, he's gone. And, you know, I can't do this. And she gave me a pep talk and reminded me, you know, why I was out there, and, you know, just to have fun and, you know, to enjoy it. And yeah, it was the next day I had gone out and saw a buck, and I think it actually was the same buck. It was in pretty much the same spot, and I'm pretty sure he was the same one. And took a shot at him, and I got him. And it felt incredible. You know, I just felt just a huge release, you know, and everyone's like, oh, did you, you know, you prove something to yourself? And I said, I didn't, you know, I always knew I could do this, you know, and it was just a weight lifted off my mind, you know, but for me really reinforced, you know, what I like to do and how I like to do it. And I'll say, you know, it was pretty cool to get that animal by myself. But gosh, I wish my girlfriend had been there, you know, just to share, you know, when I missed and be able to share that with her. And then, you know, when I had success to be able to share that with her, you know, and for me, that's hunting. So, you know, it really, you know, people can really let go of all of that business. You know, we hear a lot of that, you know, do you hunt solo? Do you hunt with other people? Do you hunt public? Do you hunt private? You know, do you hunt, you know, late season, you know, was it in the snow? I hunt up north. It's easy down south. You don't have mosquitoes. It's too hot. You know, and just to let go of all of that. And so that hunt was really, really special. So,
yeah, I love it. I love hearing that story. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that too. Thanks for sharing that. Mind you, I just want to let you all know, she slept in her car when it was What real feel was -5. So it actually felt significantly colder than
that. Yep. Yeah. Big crazy. Not gonna lie, I was Googling like how cold you can sleep in.
Yeah, but am I going to die in my car if it's -40 out?
So how was the you shot this deer, now you gotta get it to the car, right? Mm-hmm. How did that go?
So that wasn't too bad. I didn't, you know, with all the snow, I wasn't able to hike in to where I had originally wanted to hunt. So the area that I had scouted was a couple miles in. And so I wasn't able to get all the way in there and didn't have the proper gear. I didn't have a tent with a stove in it. So yeah.
Cool.
Wasn't too bad of a pack out. I did it in like two trips. So. Okay.
That's the type two fun, I like to call it. That,
type two fun, yeah. That might have been three fun.
Yeah. So Courtney, you're with Sportsman's Alliance. And you know, most why we wanted to visit with you was, you know, about your story, about your hunting experiences. But I know that Sportsman's Alliance does so much for outdoorsmen and women, and trying to protect our legacy and opportunity. And so if you've got just a little bit that you want to share with us about that, we'd love to hear about, you know, Sportsman's Alliance's charge and maybe some things that are going on there.
Yeah. So I've been with the Sportsman's Alliance about 2 months now. And they're an amazing organization. They're based in Columbus, Ohio, and they've been around since 1978. They were around since 1977, officially became an organization in 1978, and they're a nonprofit NGO. And so they were born out of, at that time, Ohio had some bad bills that was going on, some anti-hunting and trapping bills, and a group of folks came together to charge against them. And that's how they were founded. So originally they were the U.S. Sportsman's Alliance. So you might hear that name also from us. And that's where it all began. So from 1978 till now, they've really been at the forefront fighting for, you know, hunters and trappers and shooting sports participants nationwide. So we do work in all 50 states. At the state level and the federal level. We have an extremely talented group on our government affairs team who work with the lobbyists and representatives from every different state. And that's what we do. So I kind of like to call us the Ghostbusters. So, you know, if you don't know who to call, if there's no one else to call, we're always here. So we literally have our phone numbers right on our websites, right on our Facebook page. You call up, you get someone, she answers the phone right away. That's it. And she'll, you know, direct you to whoever on our team needs to hear about, you know, your issue, what's going on in your state. And we get to work. So I'm the Associate Director of Communications. So I work, I do our social media. I work on our newsletter, I work on our website, and I work very closely with our memberships team. So we are a membership-based organization. You can join us starting for $35 a year for an annual membership. So that gets you everything, all the perks in our organization, and deals with our partners, as well as it gets you a subscription to our quarterly magazine, the Sportsman's Advocate. And we also have club memberships available as well, both for in-person and online clubs and associations who want to be a part with us, and then sponsors as well. So we've had some incredible sponsors who have been supporting us since the very beginning. Companies like Hornady, who has been a sponsor of ours, I believe since the very beginning, or at least 20 years. And so we really enjoy what we do. And so we work with pretty much every other organization, the species-based organizations. We really have a wonderful working relationship. Organizations like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, we work very heavily with on some of the grizzly and wolf, you know, issues that are going on. And right. So Fantastic. Been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, it's funny, since we started talking, Courtney, about having you on the podcast, I've been seeing all the Sportsman's Alliance Facebook posts come up on my newsfeed, and I just have to chuckle, but I love the post because you guys really explain each bill, what's going on, why it's important to vote on it or take action on it. So definitely check them out if you're kind of unfamiliar with getting involved with that type of organization. You guys do a great job.
Absolutely. So we are always, you know, it's been really fascinating. You know, they've said in the past couple of years to see that originally a lot of this was coming from our government affairs team coming to the communications and the social team of letting us know what bills were going on and what we should watch out for, and some, you know, suspicious stuff that was trying to be passed. And now we actually have a lot of this information coming from our members and coming from social media. Folks tagging us and sending us direct messages and saying, you know, hey, did you see this is going on in Illinois? Hey, we need help on this. And that's what we live for, you know, and that's why we're here. So it's really pretty cool to kind of see that all in motion of, you know, people who they have a bad bill going on in their state. And it's just, you know, sometimes you feel like, you know, one voice is so small, and some of these states that they keep trying to pass the same bill every single year, year after year, with a different number, a different name, a different attack strategy. And you know, sometimes you don't know who to call and don't know who will listen to you. And that's us. That's what we do. So we're always here.
Fantastic. So I know when we got ready to start recording, I mentioned the lightning round. I don't know if you're up for that. I've got 8 questions. Nothing's too scary. And we'll just kick that off here if you're ready to go.
Let's do it.
Okay. Question number one, you got to choose one, your favorite. Well, I don't know if that's the right term. So just if you were to choose one, you don't have to put a favorite on it. Waterfowl or grouse hunting?
Ooh, waterfowl.
Okay. Number two, wild game recipe influence. So you're cooking wild game. Would you prefer an Asian influence or a Hispanic Mexican influence?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say both. I mean, that's two areas where I really, really would like to learn more about and try new recipes. So I'd say both.
Okay. All right. Number three, fishing trip. Are you going to prefer a saltwater trip or a freshwater trip?
Saltwater. I'm an ocean girl.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Hunting big game, and you get to choose your tag, an antelope hunt or a deer hunt. Could be whitetail or mule, either one.
I'd say whitetail. I've actually not done a lot of whitetail hunting, which is, you know, amazing, but not done a whole lot of whitetail.
Okay, cool. Evening in camp, hunting trip, fishing trip, hiking trip with friends, whatever. Are you going to have a craft cocktail or a craft beer?
Ooh, you know, I kind of like the mountain cocktail, a little bit of whiskey, a honey packet and a lemon juice packet taken from 7-Eleven on the drive up. and sometimes you can, put a couple of pine needles in there.
Okay. That's now on my list.
Backcountry hot toddy. Yep.
Perfect. Okay.
Make sure you write that recipe down.
Okay. Paddle travel. Do you prefer a canoe or a kayak?
Canoe. You got to do canoe. Okay. Someone told me once, what was it? There's someone who owned a canoe shop up in Michigan. He said, always canoe, kayakers, twice the paddle, half the man.
Yeah. So I'm a longtime canoe guy, lots of time in the boundary waters, and grew up, we always had a canoe, and I have a kayak too. And my kids have kayaks. My wife has a kayak, and I prefer the canoe for the hauling capacity. I mean, I can throw everything in the kitchen sink in my canoe, and the kayak, I got to be kind of, you know, I had to get actually a hybrid canoe kayak so that I could add my dog, you know, because I was going to be over weight limit on a regular kayak to try to add the full size Labrador and myself. So anyway.
They both really serve a purpose for sure. Mm-hmm. For different hunting and fishing strategies.
Yeah. Number seven, spring turkey trip or ice fishing?
Spring turkey trip.
Okay. And I think I know the answer to number eight. We talked about it just a little bit. Do you prefer sunrises or sunsets?
Sunsets, probably.
Yeah. You mentioned you weren't a morning person, so I thought maybe we had that one covered.
No,
but it's so pretty.
They're both good.
I love it. Court, how do people find you, one, on Instagram or Facebook or any social media that you might have? And then also, how can people best connect with Sportsman's Alliance?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. I'm Courtney with Freckles. Send me a message, say hello. Love to get involved with people, introduce people, especially folks who are new to hunting, new to the area, and especially for all the women out there. There's so many fantastic women's organizations. So let me know where you are, and I'll introduce you to some folks. For Sportsman's Alliance, we're online, sportsmansalliance.org. We're also on all your favorite social media, Facebook, Sportsman's Alliance, Instagram, we're Sportsman's All, and Twitter as well. So come on, follow us, get all the news, and sign up as a member. Everything we do is funded by you guys. So one membership at a time, you know, that's all we do. So.
Perfect.
Fantastic. I don't think we asked. What's on your agenda next? Where are you off to? What kind of hunting do you have planned? Fishing? Anything?
You know, well, it's kind of bittersweet, you know, when you're getting to the end of hunting season, you go, well, I'm sad it's over, but I'm so tired. So,
yep.
You know, and your house is a mess, everything needs to be washed. So, definitely going to enjoy a couple of weeks of doing nothing. But I have a spring, women's spring turkey hunt that I'm, going on. I'm excited about out in Wisconsin, and then just really looking forward to the summer. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks again, Courtney, for joining us. And I hope all our listeners will go check out, Sportsman's Alliance and see how that they could help them protect hunting, trapping, legacy and our folks' opportunity to get outside.
Yeah, Court, thanks so much. Thank you so much. Also, thanks for inspiring so many people, including myself, just to get out there and break those barriers that you might be facing, whether you want to take hunter ed by yourself, whether you want to buy your first firearm, or whether or not you want to go hunting or not. Thanks for being so inspiring for that. Be sure to give us a listen, give us a like, give us a follow on Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. We would certainly appreciate it. And in the meantime, until we release our next episode, get out there and enjoy the time on the Great Plains.
Sweet. See you guys later.
We'll see ya.